is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network. Good afternoon and welcome to Nailed It on Guardian 96.9 FM. I am Leonard Sands, along here with
Deborah Deal.
And we are so excited to be coming into your homes today to talk about exciting topics in construction, the design-related space, engineering, and everything related in construction in the country and beyond. Now, before we get anything started, I'd like to shout out our wonderful, wonderful sponsors, because without the sponsors, this show would not be possible. First, we have CMEX Bahamas Limited for all your concrete, bulk concrete item needs, M&E Limited. And we had a great presentation from them just on last Wednesday at our contractors meeting. They're more than just equipment and generator supplies and heavy equipment. They got everything for assisting and promoting your construction services throughout the Commonwealth of Bahamas and the Caribbean. ETS, Electrical Technical Services, which is for all your structural geotechnical engineering. Great engineers there, that's what. Wolseley Construction Limited, which obviously everyone knows. They build all the high-rises, condo buildings throughout the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. ART Development, which is the suppliers of MST Steel and trying to bring revolutionary science and eco-friendly building to the Bahamas. And the CBS Bahamas Pro Store, our great friends at CBS Bahamas, could help you do yourself, do your projects yourself, or assist contractors in getting any scope of work done, from tools, supplies, services, everything you need. Just visit CBS Bahamas Pro Store. So, Debbie, let's get straight into it.
Okay.
We're going to talk about the state of construction. And this is going to be a wide open topic. So we're inviting everyone who has an opinion about what we say, or do not say, or if you disagree with what we said, call in, challenge us. I find it interesting today that the minister responsible for, labor, who mentioned the fact that we need more technically skilled persons.
Something in the
I stand to be corrected on that, but someone made a contribution about that. Mm-hmm. And she said, while our employment is high, we have the highest rate of employment that we've had probably in the last 10, 15 years. That's what the government touts. She did note, though, that the landscape of the Bahamas is changing. And we don't need Bahamians anymore to just come to the high school with a diploma and looking for a job in the hotel. And while that is still the mainstay, companies that come to the Bahamas now look for skilled persons immediately out of high school. How do you see us addressing that challenge, Debbie? Why don't you take a crack at that?
With foreigners coming and wanting skilled persons,
Bahamians
out of high school.
Yeah, they're looking for them.
Well, you know, one thing that I did find when I came here is I would not have survived school if it was not for the vocational courses that they actually had, because I was not really a good student. But thanks to carpentry, agriculture, things like that, I was actually able to do something with my life, right? So I ended up, you know, doing fashion design and being able to having to draft all my plans and my patterns and all this kind of stuff. I never would have been able to do what I'm doing now mm-hmm. had I not done that. And if I had not done that in school, at 16, I would have quit and I would have gone work and I would have gone to work and that would have been my life, right?
We probably would have met you somewhere as a chef.
But it's just, I think what we did is we, you know, going back to years ago, everybody wanted their child to be a lawyer, right? Everybody wanted their child to be a lawyer. And if it wasn't a lawyer, it was a doctor. And it, so much pressure is put on somebody. If that's not your dream, if your dream is painting or art or acting or anything like that, or being a chef, mm-hmm. you know, if that's your dream and your parents are insisting that you do A, B, C, and D, I've known kids that their parents sent them away because they had to do university, because they had to do this. And those kids just wasted their time. Yeah. The parents would have to go and bail them out of jail because they were doing foolishness, because they basically said, if you are going to spend your money sending me away, yeah. I'm just going to have fun, mm-hmm. right? And that's kind of what has happened over the years. And now what we need to do is we need to have more. From the age of 12, kids should be learning a trade of some sort, even if they are going to be a doctor or a lawyer, because a doctor still might have to change a door sometime in his house or something, right? But we don't seem to do that. We pick certain things that we're going to do and only certain schools that do it, but we should all be doing that. We should all have that. And we should be able to choose those options.
And Debbie, I like the point that you make that, you know, we once... A time ago, we had that desire to have a trade. Then we replaced it with the desire to have these, you know professional mm-hmm. skills as a doctor, lawyer, accountant, engineer, right. all that good thing, which you still need.
Mm-hmm.
What? Here's the thing that I look at. Okay, it's just all the persons running away from the trades, right? It means mm-hmm. that your sons and daughters are not in the technical trades anymore. Mm-hmm. They're the doctors, lawyers, accountants. All that's great.
Mm-hmm.
They have homes,
mm-hmm.
they have businesses,
mm-hmm.
they have cars, they have right. stuff. There should be an abundance, and that's where we are today. What is just a huge demand for persons who could fix stuff,
yes.
who could do stuff.
Yes.
Here's what the challenge, though, is. Are they qualified properly? You know, we have a lot of people who got shops around the town. You got a mechanic shop, every corner you turn, there's a mechanic right. shop. Someone's doing some other kind of work with the hand. So we do have persons in it. But where do they get their foundational training? And how do we know the services they're offering to the public? We don't have an
apprentice program any longer in businesses. You know, if you have a workshop,
yeah.
you don't see somebody in there as an apprentice.
Right. Yeah.
You know, coming out of school at the age of 16, 17 years old, being an apprentice and learning that trade, that may not be your goal.
No.
You know, but that may be something that you're doing to make sure that you have money, because you may want a car, or you may want, I don't know, whatever you could possibly want, but you need to get money from somewhere,
there was
right?
opportunity.
And, you know, not everybody wants to work in a grocery store bagging groceries, right?
But that seems to be the only option these days.
Well, you know, so all I'm saying is if you're in that situation and you... I can't tell you a workshop that I know that has apprentice.
And that's a challenge.
You go in there and the youngest person is 50 years old.
How does a young person get an apprenticeship today in millwork? How do they get that?
I don't know. And what I don't understand is, for some reason, a lot of persons, like, you know me, I want to share everything I know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care how irrelevant it might be. I want to share it because I learned it and I know somebody else out there would be able to use it in their life. But you find a lot of persons that know things do not want to share and teach. They would rather show, and if they are going to take you into a workshop, they're only going to have you do, they may have you just sand. They're not going to show you how to use the tools because they don't want you to actually go and take the job or the work or open up your own workshop.
You think that's it, or it's really that they're afraid that you could, you know, they put you on meaningful work. What if you screw it up?
You're going to screw up anyways, whether it's meaningful or not meaningful. You might be just the person there that's sanding the wood, and you might sand the edges too raw, and then mm-hmm. you've got to actually put that piece of wood back on the saw again. We all mess up. But the only way to learn is, truthfully, you learn from your mistakes. If you don't make a mistake, you will never learn anything.
So there is talk There's talk now about a national apprenticeship program that I believe that the government is eyeing to roll out early 2025. I want to imagine how exactly that would happen, because you expressed that this is something that we believe is beneficial to the entire Bahamas, especially to young people. It mm-hmm. gives them a pathway to getting a trade and a skill that they could use for their future. Great. It's an awesome idea. The government's now taking this bull by the horn and saying, okay, we're going to have a national apprenticeship program. Great. It's a great idea. I received one call about it. I could say, as president of the Contractors Association, nothing beyond that call. Because I want to understand how they intend to flesh it out. It's going to be interesting, because if I'm a shop and I have the capacity to do 15 jobs a week, but I only have one job a week, do you send me five guys and say, train them up? Where would I have the work for five guys? Where would I have the need for five guys? So I think where we tried to do it before, if you send people to these businesses, I think you have to look at it differently. Why don't we look at, if you determine the needs first and then apprentice, you can't apprentice, well, not that you can't. I don't think it would be beneficial to just blanket apprentice. Look at what the needs are. I've expressed before, we don't have no one training drywall mechanics. That's persons who install metal stud. No one trains it. BTVI doesn't train it. Mm-hmm. The high schools don't train it. After high school doesn't train it. So you're not learning the skill.
Right. When Atlantis first came in to build, and they actually had a training program for that. So most of the persons that you and I know and that are members of the BCA learned from them. So when you hire them, they know what they are doing.
Exactly. Right. And if you don't get them,
yes,
you just dog eat your lunch. So what we're saying is that you recognize that we don't have a national training program in place for apprenticeship. And I hear people talk with the National Training Agency, and I love the people there. I know them there. The National Training Agency probably needs to change the name, because it's not nationally training. Mm-hmm. It's training in hotel-related skills. Now, I'm going to say that publicly on the air. Mm-hmm. I wish they call and defend it. They don't train auto mechanics at the National Training Agency. They train hotel-related skills there. You go there, you wear black and white, and they train you for pretty much a hotel. And that's great. Nothing's wrong with that.
So that's taking care of the tourism business, basically, is what they're doing. Yes.
But drywall mechanic framing. Mm-hmm. Painting is not trainable skill that we train here. Drywall hanging, drywall finishing.
Right.
All the levels of, just in drywall, we could find at least 5 to 10 areas of work for young people. No one's training it.
And it's obvious that no one's training it when you walk into buildings.
Oh, God.
Because
don't even talk about it.
Because honestly, everybody thinks it's so simple. You just put it up, you screw it on, then you put the tape on, If you're not using the right blade, you're not going to get the right job.
And it has to be.
And it's crazy.
It's crazy.
Painting, they say, well, everybody knows anybody can paint. I say, well, yeah, I can go to places and see where everybody was painting, because they painted the sidewalk, the bushes, the windows. Why not be proud of what you're doing?
But Debbie, it's
nobody's
not about
teaching
being
that.
Because you have to train it.
Yes, you're right.
We know how to drive a car. Let me just dial it back. You know how we know how to drive a car?
Because somebody taught us, whether it was our mother or father or brother.
Or you went to a training course to drive a car. And you took driving lessons, and then you took an exam, and you passed. And guess what? Now you could operate this small car, this motor vehicle.
Right. There's some people that
still
can't.
And I say that all the time. If you don't train somebody, mm-hmm. can you be upset with the results you get?
Absolutely can
you?
Not. No.
You shouldn't.
No.
I've seen the most terrible level of block work I thought I'd ever seen in my entire life. And you know what? I stood back and said, you know what? I can't even be upset.
No.
Where would this person have learned it from? And
nowhere.
Said, where I learned it from? Well, I just see the guy doing it, so I thought I could do it too.
That's what they do. That's why you see some people out there. I've known this from my own experience, where a person is out there and they're a part of a carpentry crew. Right? Mm-hmm. And then, but the owner of the company is also a carpenter, mm-hmm. right? So and then there's payday and all this kind mm-hmm. of stuff, and they go, man, I could do what he does. All I need, and the next day, next week, he quits and he's got a tape measure on his hip, and he borrows somebody's truck, and then all of a sudden now he's a contractor. And then you can, it's evidence driving around this country how poor the trades are in the construction industry.
Absolutely.
Because you don't see, you see buildings that are half finished and the ones that are finished badly. You see, there's no such thing as level in this country at all, level or square. And it's a shame because, you know, people come from all over the world to see us here. And only the buildings that were built in the early, like, I don't know, 1900s, maybe up to 1960, that's pretty much all that was really built.
Well, no, no, not entirely. Let me challenge you on that. Not entirely. It depends on where you go.
Well, that's true.
I could argue
that's
that. True. All
I,
the
I don't
homes
go to the
inside,
places you
yeah,
go.
All the places in Sandy Ford and Life Key and Old Fort Bay and Albany and Westray, they are built great.
Okay.
And again, it may be because the homeowners have a little more coin to shop around and get the best contractors. Because I still have to believe the artisan and the person doing the job gives you the result that you're going to desire.
Right. And then
Debbie,
you're
not going to get you and have somebody and get a product that looks like crap. That's not what you're going to deliver.
Right, but you would have also an architect that would have done detailed drawings on
of
everything.
Course.
And an engineer that would have done
it,
the
it comes
same
down
thing,
to that. But also, for the rest of the public now, okay, now that's the higher end. For the rest of the public, they still deserve that same
Absolutely.
Level of quality, whatever their price point is.
Just like if you go to a store and buy a suit, that's you expect that suit to
you
be perfect.
It, yeah.
The stitching will match.
Absolutely.
The buttons will be fine. The sleeves are the right length.
Yeah.
I mean, you will expect a brand new suit, not one that's been patched, not one that isn't, that the buttons don't match or the hems don't match and one sleeve is longer than the other. But that's how you get your houses built, with one door longer than the other or the door doesn't fit
of
in.
Of course. And so we have to look at the industry and say that the construction industry is challenged with a huge demand for skilled professionals and great contractors and great results. But we're challenged with the fact that not everyone in the industry can deliver that result. Now, how do you address that challenge? From the administrator standpoint,
I need to ask you a
BCA,
question.
That's the government.
I need to ask you a question. You had said that the government is talked about doing this training.
They're going to roll it out. Yep.
Training
exactly.
program, right? Okay. And so the government is rolling out this training
the
program.
Yeah.
Right. But the government, the same government, right? Mm-hmm. will not license our contractors
Absolutely
in this country.
Not.
So we have every single one of us that is a contractor. Is only a business license person,
all of us.
And we don't have a license to build.
No, you don't have
and
a
but they're going to go and train people to come into this industry that will not have a license anyways.
Makes
so
no sense.
It's futile.
Yeah,
it unless they actually do what we're doing and continue on with that and license us so that the licensed contractors that are grandfathered in can hire these people. But what's the point if you're not going to have a license? Who are you going to work for?
I don't know.
How are you going to protect yourself?
So, you know, we talk about it. And this is what we talk about in the air. We said, you know, it's really sad that this area of this country, construction, which is a significant addition to our GDP, is how we show evidence of human existence on this earth.
Mm-hmm.
And we are fighting and struggling almost 4 years in now of this administration, almost 4 years, to have the licensing of contractors become a reality. Now, notwithstanding that the government has made certain commitments and pronouncements, but it cannot be that hard to
I can actually say anything, Leonard, and get it done.
It's not that hard.
Yeah.
Okay? Mm-hmm. But because I have to deal with, let me tell you what I had to deal with today. Having to have a conversation with a foreign contracting company who's doing work in the Bahamas through their subsidiary, which has a Bahamian partnership. Mm-hmm. Their insurances are all inside Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Their management team comes from Florida. So all they know is contractors have license and this is the insurance they have. And then you have to sit down and explain to them, yeah, well, that doesn't happen in the Bahamas. Oh, yeah, I know. We don't do it like that. And they're looking at it and say, well, this is a million-dollar job we're talking about here, and you're saying, just call this guy and he could do it. How do I know he could do it? Where's his credentials?
I've been saying that forever.
How does my insurance hold up with this person who doesn't have a license. So he's calling back to his insurance company. So, does my insurance cover persons who don't have a license to work on my job? And it's embarrassing. I'm sitting in the room like, what, you know, this is what we go through.
Not only is it that with the insurance, but think about it, where it depends on where you get your money from. You know, if you get the money from EU or Jeff or World Bank or IDB or wherever you're getting your money from, they require licensed contractors. If we don't have any, then basically the government just says, oops, we don't have any, so you bring in your own people. And that's why the construction, most of the construction money is actually leaving this country. It's not even staying here. Yeah. We should be, this is what was one of the top two businesses in the country. What do you call them? My mouth is not working. Industries in the country. Yeah, yeah. And we don't even have licenses? That's crazy. No.
But we'll get more into it on the next side of the break. So you're listening to Nail It on Guardian 96.9, and we'll be back.
When we come back, we're going to give you how you can contact us, so you can tell us, come call us and tell us your stories, or send us a message.
Know about the big yellow machines. You've probably heard about our big yellow engines, maybe even seen our reliable yellow generator sets light up your world. But if that's all you know about Machinery and Energy Limited, then you're missing out. We are yellow iron and so much more. We are multiple product lines, construction equipment, forklifts, marine engines, aerial equipment, and light towers. We are parts, service, equipment sales, and rentals. Visit one of our branches in Nassau, Freeport, or Abaco for your construction and power generation needs, because we're built for it.
Mother sick, this wall and crack, and they just build this house.
Pay now, pay more later.
Your wall crack, oh, because I rot in steel.
I guarantee the fiber steel, Jack.
No steel, no big deal. Fiber rebar is better than steel, eh? No steel, no big deal. Fiber rebar is better than steel. Steel pussy get protection from nasty men. But the sand that they use of salt and then. And then over time, you start to rotten. And just like a flower ball crack open, eh? No steel, no big deal. Fiber rebar is better than steel, eh?
For more information on FRP concrete reinforcement products, call our development today at 603-4506 or 822-9527. Or visit our Facebook and IG page at Our Development BFRP. Listen, say goodbye to rust and our crack of water. Call now.
No steel, no big deal.
When you're building renovation projects, are go pro at the all-new CBS Pro Store. Find unbeatable prices, unmatched service, and an expanded selection of building essentials. Drywall and plywood, tools and thinset, insulation and hardware too. It's all at CBS Pro Store. Contractors, do-it-yourselfers, and industry professionals in the know can now go pro at the all-new CBS Pro Store, 103 Robinson Road.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Guardian Radio 96.9. Nailed it. And we're here talking about the state of construction in the country. Before we get into it stuff, Debbie, you want to go ahead and...
Yeah, we really would like you to call and or message us, because we need to hear your stories as well. We need to find out if there's, is there something we are missing? So anyway, this is how to get in touch with us. So you can listen to us on Cable Bahamas Channel 969 or BTC Flow Channel. You can download the Guardian Radio app for your Apple, from your Apple and Android smart devices, and listen to our audio feed or watch us on our video feed right there at the Guardian Radio app. You can text us at Guardian Radio text line 422-4797, powered by BTC. Standard text rates apply. And you could call us at 323-6232, 325-4316, or 325-4259, or toll-free from the Family Islands at 242-300-5720. We want to hear from you.
So before we went to the break, Debbie, we were talking about the apprenticeship, national apprenticeship program that we believe the government is going to roll out for the whole industry, inclusive of construction. So it's not just construction, it's inclusive of all industries, including construction. So this is huge. This
so
is
basically, big. I'm assuming then that anything to do with tourism will be the ones that get most, anyway, sorry.
We don't know exactly how it's going to go, but again, stakeholder engagement has been incredibly scarce in that regard. But we would only hope that they would have kind of figured out how they want it to work. And then let's not do it like the five-week program, what we've seen before. You can't teach anyone anything meaningful in 5 weeks.
No.
It's just not, that's just not long enough for the skill to be transferred properly unless they're in the directly applied skill set. What I mean by that is that I can teach somebody how to plaster a wall in 5 weeks. They're working every day on it, they can get it. You probably can't teach somebody how to fix a car in 5 weeks. You need a longer time than that. Right. You probably can't teach somebody how to do many of the technical things that happen outside of construction, even if inside of banking or finance was not. So imagine you can put all these persons inside this program. The duration has to be looked at carefully. And then secondly, what are the outcomes? That's another thing. But then third thing I always like to talk about, what is it we want? I do a lot of research on Singapore. Singapore determines what they want for their country 50 years from today and then starts planning for it.
Right.
We know we have about 10 billion worth of development happening in the next 10 years in the same country. We know that is a fact. We're not planning to supply the labor for it at all because we're not training them.
No.
So we know also we're going to build some hotels. We also know we can do this. But what are we doing in preparation for what we already know? Nothing. When do we become a little smarter than just stumbling our way through the universe being the Bahamas and just figuring it out as it goes? When do we start actually planning and auditing the results
I'm hoping it's not just the fact that they can get skilled labor from away and also get money for a work permit.
That's what we've been doing.
And that's, I know, but I'm hoping that they are realizing that, getting other countries' work permits to come in here to work when we have a population that needs to work, is our future as well. I mean, everything has changed. I mean, like we were talking when we walked in here, back in the day, you actually had to use your phone from home and call everybody before you went out. And then when you got to the job site, if they weren't there, where the heck were you going to find them? You didn't have a cell phone. Everything is different. Now you've got computers. We all have a cell phone that is a camera, a computer.
It's everything.
It's a ask Miss Google everything or Mr. Google everything. I mean, we have all of this at our fingertips, and we all need to learn that. And if we are learning, if anybody can learn to use a phone and all the things that it does, you tell me that we can't teach somebody to do drywall or to lay blocks or to paint properly. I mean, we could do that.
We could do that, but we're satisfied enough. We're satisfied enough on the result of not having to train somebody. Because what we do well is we import labor well. We love to do that. And when we do that, here's the disservice to your community. Absolutely. That young person who just graduated, he's out there looking for a job. He doesn't have the right skills because you didn't train him. And now he's knocking about. he's probably going to get into something that's not as, you know, as as nice as you desire him to do. Mm-hmm. Or secondly, he gets a job in an area where he really doesn't have an interest, but it's the only job available. Right. And both instances, it's a disservice to our young person. Rather than we find the ways to train. I didn't say offer training, because I think we offer training in some areas. But do they deliver the training that is qualified by the industry as being something that we'd accept? And that's where the gap is for me. And I think that's a wider conversation. Is this training even that puts out there? Let's talk about BTBI. Can you take a young person from BTBI who've gone to the masonry program and you think they could lay blocks for your entire house?
I don't think so, because have they been, when they were at BTBI getting trained, were they out on jobs training?
No.
Were they having, how were they,
in
what were they laying them on?
In a classroom.
You can't lay a block in a classroom.
Well, I know that, and you know that.
Yeah. So then it's one thing.
I know that, and you know that.
It's one thing to look at something, but it's another thing to actually, it's when it's tangible and you actually have to lift up that block that might weigh 26 pounds, right? And you might have to pull your lines to make sure something is level. Listen, and what are you going to nail? What are you going to nail it to?
I don't know. I post a lot to my Instagram page and Facebook page about the things that happen in the Caribbean and in the United States about how we train trades. They have a national masonry exam, and it had 150 students all laying block for the exam. Look at the Bahamas. We have 150 students in a classroom taking an exam for a masonry class. Like it's absolutely absurd how we approach technical training. And I think sometimes we get ahead of ourselves. Forget the whole technical training, man. Can we get the vocational training? I can't get a young man from BTVI who could come and put install crown mold in the room. I don't care what the paper says. Vocationally, do you know how to cut that corner at 45 different degree angles and run crown molding around a 12-foot room?
Oh, and hang on, you're assuming that those angles are actually 45 degrees.
Yeah.
Ah.
And if it isn't 45, does the person know how to triangulate the difference to make up for it? That's vocational technical training. I think we, and I've said it before and I express it strongly, we are on the wrong path. We're training, and this is why our brothers and sisters from the South are coming here and getting the jobs, because they realize very quickly that it's a non-trained area. So they watch long enough and they get behind someone, they figure out that, hey, I can do this stuff. And they screw up a couple of times, but eventually they get it. Yeah. And all of a sudden now they're employed and your young people are not employed. That's a failure on us.
Yeah.
And how do we address it? I think you have to address it by looking at the problem very honestly and say, okay, this isn't working. Let's now do this. What would it hurt to take one of those big buildings, which was churches, with five people go to them now. I could name at least 20 of them. And clear them out and set up a space for 100 young people to learn masonry or drywall or painting or what's not. That's my idea. That's what I think we could do tomorrow.
Or you know what? You and I had also spoken about this before the show, where there's a bunch of houses around Nassau that either somebody has died or the bank has repossessed them or whatever, that would be a great opportunity to actually have a class of students that would go in and take that house.
Under the care of a master.
Right, under the care of a master. Go on the inside of that and do the demolition that needs to be done. It doesn't have to be taking out the walls, but you and I know that demolition could be just taking out the moldings and the doors and doing that kind of stuff, right? But that's an on-hands training
right there.
Once you do that, you're doing the demolition part because you need to do that as well, and you're learning how to do that and how to separate it and what you know what has to be done, and then you're also learning how to reconstruct it, and what's necessary for that, and learn. Then you're going to see all the flaws, and then you're going to say, oh, well, this isn't working. And then you're going to realize, you know, well, this isn't working because it wasn't done right in the first place. There's so many things you can learn by doing that in person.
Yeah. And also, we talked about this before off air too. The state of all government buildings and government-owned facilities are just abysmal. We could have a national apprenticeship program and just maintaining government buildings. Give me 1,000 students. There still wouldn't be enough to bring back to the useful state of some of the government buildings that are around the place. And I could call names of the buildings. You'd see the mold dripping off the building on Meeting Street. It's granted, the building was built less than 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. Meeting Street. Where? What's up there? The Ministry of
Health.
Health?
Mm-hmm.
That's an embarrassment.
It is.
Maintenance, nowhere in sight. Nowhere in sight. It's embarrassing.
If you look in the eaves, they've got plants growing in the eaves.
Yeah. Lack of maintenance. You mm-hmm. could just enlist young people as part of your training program just to maintain government buildings.
Yes.
So two things you get out of it. A, you get the buildings maintained. And B, you get young people trained in maintaining the buildings. Trained. And guess what? They have a job.
Right.
They get job to maintain the buildings.
And the only extra cost to that would be actually having a person who knows what they're doing first to train these persons. And then that crew can go on to another building, and that person can train new other people coming
but
in.
But I don't know, Debbie. Sometimes I think we just, in talking to hear ourselves, because clearly all the bright minds in Parliament that sits there on a Wednesday can't come up with things that make sense most time. But, you know, it is what it is. So we're in the same. No, I'm being very. It is what it is. So we have us as a country fumbling around to do, you know, low-hanging fruit stuff that other nations have sorted out and figured out 50 years ago. We're still bumbling through it like some bunch of little kids who can't spell cat.
And when you think about the, what is it, 12 million or how many million visitors did we have to the country last year?
11 point something, maybe 12.
Right, almost 12. Okay. Yeah. So people come from all over the world. They come from Japan, China, France, Italy, Spain, Canada, United States.
We think they only see Bay Street.
Oh, they don't.
We know they don't. Somehow we, the whole.
Sometimes I see people and I go, what are you
doing all the way
here?
Yeah, they see everywhere.
But they see, and so they see what we are doing in this country, or what we're not doing in this country, because you would not see this in those countries.
No.
It's not allowed. Yeah. I mean, I remember when we lived in Germany, you actually had to wash your windows and make sure that your sidewalks and everything were cleaned every single day, or you would get fined. They didn't care if you rented the place or owned the place. That was your job to make sure that the outside of your building was good.
But look at that. Look, and I bet. What was the overall effect? The whole place looked clean, didn't it?
It looked amazing. Nothing looked bad.
So
could be like crappy inside, but nobody went inside.
Exactly. But see, this is where I talk about. When I say, let's start from the end. What is it we want to reject? What is it we want to achieve? And when I hear what can happen and what we actually hear from leadership, what we will do, it just says that no one has an idea how to make the place better.
Well, they can very easily pass bills because we see them passing bills every day. But are they passing a bill where you actually must take care of the exterior of your building?
No.
They should do that, especially in any place, but downtown in automatically.
Yeah.
That should be a given. You drive down there and everything is dirty and everything needs to be painted. And it's sad. So, and these tourists, I feel bad for these tourists walking around.
But, and so there's a whole opportunity there. So imagine, let's look at Bay Street. If you decided that you wanted to paint all the buildings on Bay Street, underwrite the cost, you're the government, get a bunch of young persons as interns under some great master painters that we have here.
We do.
And give groups of young people under this person's care the apprenticeship program is you're going to paint this building.
Right.
The entire exterior building.
You're also going to teach them health and safety as well because they would actually have to have scaffold.
Absolutely.
And, yes.
So the opportunity is enormous to transfer this knowledge, but it has to be approached. What is the end result? So the end result is you could have a transformation of Bay Street, and the end result, you could train up these young people, who could be painters afterwards, and the end result could all these young persons would then learn the skills of painting, scaffolding, taking care of things, cleaning. That's the transferable. That's a goal.
It is.
So that's what I hope they're looking at as a result. I hope that's what they're looking at. I don't know, because I'm not involved in the way that the BCA should be involved.
Yeah.
But I would only hope so.
You can't learn to be a tailor by sitting in a classroom. You have to be sitting in front of your sewing machine. That's how you have to do it. You have to have your table so that you can, you know, design your pattern and all that kind of stuff.
After you learn the whole the history of Singer machines and how the sewing machine came about, then you have to know how to use the machine.
Absolutely.
So the practical part has to kick in. So, again, we're inviting persons to call in on all of the numbers. Tell us what you think about some of the things that we're discussing. The lines are open. And we're going to get into some of your calls after this break. You're listening to Nailed It on Guardian 96.9 FM. And we'll be back soon.
When your building renovation projects are go, go pro at the all-new CBS Pro Store. Find unbeatable prices, unmatched service, and an expanded selection of building essentials. Drywall and plywood, tools and thinset, insulation and hardware too. It's all at CBS Pro Store. Contractors, do-it-yourselfers, and industry professionals in the know can now go pro at the all-new CBS Pro Store, 103 Robinson Road.
Hey, y'all ever the new fiber steel on the market?
Yeah.
But don't rust.
Gone are the days of cracking spoils. Now that's a very easy to install. Fiber steel is here to stay. No more repairing that break up wall. FRP's the new steel in town. No salty air would ever break down. Rust or corrosion, that's in the past. In the Bahamas, now we're built to last. Say goodbye to rust forever, man. Goodbye to corrosion by the ocean, man. Say goodbye to rust forever. No rust, no corrosion. Fiber steel in our future, brother, man. FRP's in our future.
For more information on FRP concrete reinforcement products, call our development today at 603-4506 or visit our Facebook and IG page at Our Development BFRP. Say goodbye to rust forever.
You know about the big yellow machines. You've probably heard about our big yellow engines, maybe even seen our reliable yellow generator sets light up your world. But if that's all you know about Machinery and Energy Limited, then you're missing out. We are yellow iron and so much more. We are multiple product lines, construction equipment, forklifts, marine engines, aerial equipment, and light towers. We are parts, service, equipment sales, and rentals. Visit one of our branches in Nassau, Freeport, or Abaco for your construction and power generation needs, because we're built for it.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, quality.
Welcome back to Nailed It on Guardian 96.9 FM. And we'd like to thank our sponsors again, CMEX Bahamas, M&E Limited, ETS, Wolseley Construction, Art Development, CBS Bahamas Pro Store. Thank you for making this show a reality.
Yes.
So that we could bring necessary information to the construction community in the Bahamas and beyond.
And we should also mention that this show is really the Bahamian Contractors Association's show.
Yeah.
You know?
It's not Leonard and Debbie.
No. We are the Bahamian Contractors Association. You're the president.
Yeah.
And I'm a trustee.
Yeah.
Yes.
And speaking about the Contractors Association, we do have great and wonderful meetings where we discuss some of the things that we talk about on air.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about the good work, bad work. We talk about the things that's happening in legislation that affect contractors. One of the most interesting thing, and Debbie, and it's always interesting when I had an opportunity to speak to the Rotaract Club on Monday of this week, and I asked persons that name me three licensed contractors, and the person put up their hand, they named three contractors. And I said, I'll give you $1,000 if you name me three license contractors. And they named three contractors. And I said, unfortunately, you can't get my $1,000 because no contractor in the Commonwealth of Bahamas is licensed to do construction. A business license issued by the Business License Authority is not a contractor's license for the purposes of construction vetted based on their qualification, skills, and or educational training and expertise to do construction.
It's just the a business entity. License.
It's just a business license.
So that they can collect their taxes from
That's
it.
That's right.
Yes.
The entity which would establish a license for contractors is called the Construction Contractors Board. This board would have been constituted through the Construction Contractors Act, a parliament that was passed in 2016. However, the board that would issue and grant you a license has not been constituted yet. The board has not been formed and duly constituted. So nobody, I don't care what they tell you, I'm a licensed and I still see it on people's
I see license costs.
So you can't be licensed. This is the question I always ask. Who did you get your license from? And I didn't say business license. I say your license. Now, when you don't put business in front of it, all of a sudden they stop. Well, okay, good.
Because we, as a BCA, could have actually started courses and licensed people, but it would be licensed by us.
The BCA.
Who the heck are we? It has to be licensed by government because the building code is government. The building permits are government. Mm-hmm. Everything is government. So it has to be licensed
through
by
the authority,
them. Correct.
Through the authority of government. And not to say that if the Bayman Contractors Association we're so minded, which we sometimes are, to issue our members licenses, that those licenses would not meet the standard of the Construction Contractors Act, because they would. But it just goes along and follows a logical path that the agency of the government, which is the Ministry of Public Works through the minister, conveys the licensing authority to the board, and the board then issues the license to qualified contractors per the requirements of the Act. And on that conversation, Debbie, I said that one of the things as you read the Act, and I invite the public to go download the Act from the Government of Obama's website called Construction Contractors Act. Just put that in. It'll come up. The Act was crafted to allow licenses to be given to contractors that can demonstrate by their years of experience that they know how to build. That's the majority of the weight of the Act. Because if you read it, the more college and technical education you have, you need less experience. On the flip side of it, the more experience you have, the less technical and educational requirements the Act requires for you. Right. So if you have 40 years experience in it and you can demonstrate that you know to do X, Y, and Z, you get the license under the Act. Challenge is, let's go to dial it back the other direction. If you graduated today and applied to the board from high school and said, I want to be a contractor, you're not likely going to get that license by the board because you wouldn't have had the requisite experience. And then they will also say, okay, you have no experience. Do you have the technical qualifications? Do you have a bachelor's degree? Do you have a two-year degree? Do you have a trade school degree? No, I don't have none of those. So why would I issue a license? And I want the public to think about that. Would you like your doctor to tell you, you know, I dropped out of medical school. I could still do this open heart surgery on you. Why would you want to lay on the table? No. So why would you want somebody who pulls up to your house with a truck that says XYZ construction, let me build your house? And then you ask them, okay, so how many houses have you done? Well, I've never done a house before, but I believe I'm going to get this one right.
Right. Yeah, but one thing we do want to do is we don't want to scare anybody out there who is a contractor who may not have as much experience or may not have the training. The Act basically says that they would be grandfathered in.
They would.
And there'll be a two-year period where they could get either their two-year in the field training as well as proper training.
Yeah, proper training.
Skill training, which the BCA have all the courses to actually do that.
Yeah, and then let me provide a little more clarity to that. So the Act says on first face value, everyone get grandfathered in. Right, you're all in. Boom. Now, here's the vetting process now. Mm-hmm. Let's line up the requirements of the act. Let's see who stays in. Mm-hmm. Because it still has to intend that everyone can't be, it's possible that everyone can meet the qualifications under the act, mm-hmm. but it's unlikely that everyone will at the same time. Because if you're a contractor now and you just started in 2024 mm-hmm. as a contractor, mm-hmm. you didn't have any technical skills, and this is month one for you, mm-hmm. you still get grandfathered in. Mm-hmm. Now, 2 years later, if you made an application then, you didn't work under a foreman for 3 to 5 years, you didn't go and get a degree in construction or some kind of technical
training.
Mm-hmm. You're not likely to get relicensed again because there's a gap in knowledge where you didn't satisfy.
Right, but that's what that 2 years is for.
I agree.
It's for you to do that.
To do that.
Whether you decide not to do that or not is on you.
That's important. But I think what we want to convey to the public is that there has to be a minimum standard of learning and or experience to be called a contractor. Yeah. Because without the minimum standard, then we're no different than what we do now.
There's different kinds of construction. You know, there's handyman construction, right? As well as somebody who's going to build a house,
and then somebody else who's going to build a high rise. This is what we're talking about. This trade contractor. Mm-hmm. So you could be a trade contractor mm-hmm. or you could be a general contractor. Mm-hmm. What we have in this country is everyone's a general contractor mm-hmm. on paper. Mm-hmm. But not everyone is a general contractor.
Yeah.
Nine times out of ten, most, I hate to say, most persons in the construction space, if they're not used to it and haven't used it before, they wouldn't know what a G702 is. They wouldn't know to file an application for payment through the AIA standard documents. Mm-hmm. They've never seen it. Why? Because an experience at a certain level gets you exposed to that.
Right.
And so while you may be working over here and doing government houses and these smaller things, and that's, you don't need that. Once you engage with a professional architect and you're going to do a house that's over $500,000, you're going to do it through the standard forms of AIA documents. Well, where would you learn that skill if you haven't been exposed to it?
Going back to that, what happens is they get a piece of paper and they type up the name of their company and they type up a proposal for which would be their contract. Mm-hmm. That's why we've had the conversations last week with the woman who had been taken advantage of because the person really was not a contractor. He didn't really know. So that's where you have to know these things. Otherwise, the client is going to be taken advantage of.
Yes. But
we have to look out for that as well.
We say this loosely. We say this loosely a lot. The person wasn't a contractor. But everyone who contracts something is a contractor. But how good are they as a contractor?
It's correct. Yeah. I apologize. Yeah. I did say that wrong.
Because that's all it is. Someone uh-huh. who contracts something is a contractor.
Correct.
Now, we've long agreed, though, there are good contractors, there are experienced contractors, there are non-experienced contractors.
Correct.
What we hope to have mm-hmm. is through the enforcement of the Construction Contractors Act is experienced, good contractors.
Right, because if you're a doctor, you've gone through all of those stages to get to that point where you can actually go.
And absolutely. And this is what's lacking. Because in construction in the Bahamas, there are no stages. There are no formal training stages for you to become a contractor. And I say it over and over so the public understands that you are just rolling the dice if you engage a contractor who you don't know what has been their experience. And the best thing you can use is their experience. Mm-hmm. Debbie, if you've been at it for 40 years and there's a body of work that I could look at, I could say you probably know what you're doing. But if someone comes to you, they don't have a body of work, but they want you to give them the opportunity to build a house, maybe you should not engage that person. That's all I'm saying.
And often they do show you somebody else's house
and
that was
sometimes
built.
They show you somebody else's house.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But this is where we have a responsibility as a Bahamian Contractors Association, mm-hmm. not only to talk about the good things that contractors do, to be very honest about the fact that there are road persons out there mm-hmm. who present that they are contractors mm-hmm. and are not really honest about their level of skill and ability to perform works for the public.
Right.
And those persons, while they have the best intention, mm-hmm. but they need to have the requisite training and skill.
Right.
And that's where the pathway to becoming better is through the licensing and authority.
It's not really only in our business as well, because it's also, look at the car mechanics that you have. You know, you have somebody that is working on the side of the road, and they may have a skill, they may not have. They may have apprenticed under somebody else.
They may have.
But then you also hear stories from them, from other persons who've gone to people like that and go, oh my gosh.
It was a horror story.
It was a horror story. So, I mean, because there's no regulations, and because you can drive down any road and see 10,000 cars and then another acre of cars in behind, and I mean, there's no rules and regulations. It's like, we really are living in the wild, wild west. Yeah.
And so we appreciate the fact that rules make things, it puts things inside like guardrails, right?
Mm-hmm. Just if like you have with your kids at home.
You want to make sure they don't do this or do that and what's not. So the Contractors Act is just a guardrails for construction. Mm-hmm. When the guardrails do one thing, guardrails protect.
Right.
And so we want to protect the industry. We want to protect consumers so that you don't have persons complaining that I got a bad job, I got taken advantage of, someone run off with my money. Mm-hmm. Because if the guardrails are in place, the protections are in place.
Correct. Because you'd actually have some form of repercussion, but where we don't right now.
Yeah.
And anybody out there listening, it's only like 40, 45 pages. It's not rocket science, right?
Yeah.
And then a lot of it is definitions.
It's,
I mean,
the first 20 pages are definitions. It's literally 20 pages of content.
Yeah. So if you really want to, if you really want to know it, download it on your computer and read it. And it's not rocket science.
No.
It's so easy to read and it's so simple. Mm-hmm. It's a straightforward document.
Yeah.
Straightforward document. Yeah. It's nothing to be afraid of. And once you read it, you say, oh, that's it? Okay. And then all of a sudden, all of the worries and everything that you might have had just disappear.
Yeah. And so, Debbie, before we get off the show, we're getting to the end of the show again. Time flies so quickly. it is Halloween.
Yes.
And my word for the listening public out there is avoid the goons and goblins in construction. scary guys out there who somehow pop up out of the graveyard and try to convince you that I'm the best at doing whatever it is that I'm doing, but no evidence of it.
Right.
And if they give you a price that is often too good to be true.
It's too good to be true.
It is absolutely too good to be true. And we've seen it all over the town. And I want to tell the public this. If you know your house should cost $350,000, but someone tells you they could build it for $189,000, run.
Yes.
Just run. That makes
it'll never happen.
Absolutely no sense.
Yes.
So use your gut. Understand that things cost money. Do some checking yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to ask some important questions. Okay, so if you say this is going to be built for $189,000, okay, you're saying now 10% of it is my floor. So $18,000 doesn't get my floor done. My floor is 2,500 square foot.
Mm-hmm.
The concrete alone on 2,500 square foot is almost $10,000. How you can get the block, the steel, pay for the labor, the fill, the visqueen, the termite treatment in that. So when you start to ask persons questions, you'll start to sort out whether they know what they're talking about.
Right. And if what we're saying, if it interests you and if it makes you think, yes, this really needs to be done, everybody listening has a member of parliament.
Yeah.
Send them a letter.
Yeah, send them
send
an email.
Them a letter. Say, listen, man, I got taken advantage of and I want this to stop. And there's a very easy way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Just finish the act. Finish. If the act is done.
Yeah.
Finish it. Get
point
it to the
board.
Point.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that we can actually have somebody go out and inspect and see what's happening. Maybe the contractor might have to pay something. There might be a penalty. The contractor might lose a license.
Or the contractor may be forced to ensure that they have somebody in place to document what they're doing properly.
Correct.
And to make sure that you don't get taken advantage of.
There's
a lot of things that the Construction Contractors Act give the board the power to do to the benefit of the industry.
Right.
And that's what we want to say.
Leonard and I are just two people. We can't do it on our own.
No.
We really need your help.
Yeah. So once again, this has been another episode of Nailed It on Guardian 96.9. Debbie, it's been a pleasure once again.
It's been a pleasure once again.
We didn't get a call, but we know you're out there listening, and we're going to invite you again.
Because you're going to call us when we leave.
And call during the show.
And happy Halloween, everybody.
Happy Halloween,
everyone. Be safe, be safe, be safe.
Where every reason honored.